Teachers, there is an essential reminder that I want to share with you, because I don't think that this statement gets emphasized enough in education. I think sometimes as teachers, we can get caught in this race of, I need to do better. I need to make my classroom look like theirs. I need to make my lessons as engaging or interesting as theirs. I need to approach students like the teacher down the hall. So the reminder is this: if those thoughts are ever crossing your minds, maybe they're crossing your mind a lot, I want you to know that you have a unique set of skills. You have a unique set of strengths and interests and things that you do so well that other teachers in your building can't do, and that's okay. In fact, that's beautiful. Because I think that schools and education systems should be built on the fact that we have unique interests, skills, and strengths that we should be utilizing on a daily basis. I don't want to teach like the teacher down the hall. I don't want to reach kids like what I'm seeing on Instagram or TikTok. I want to be confident enough at what I bring to the table on a daily basis, so that when I drive home each day, I think, yes, when kids arrive to my classroom, they got a unique experience. I spoke differently. I connected differently. I used a different type of humor. I used a different level of energy. And that is good. I think with social media, it has become incredibly easy to scroll and then to stress out, because we feel like we aren't living up to the level that the people around us are. And let me be very honest, it's because we're not. But when are we going to say, that's okay? I think about it like this. If my students interact with 8 adults a day, and they get 8 different ways to learn, and 8 different ways to be loved, and 8 different ways to laugh, what a cool experience kids are getting. I think that education needs to embrace our uniqueness, but I think that starts by you embracing your uniqueness and then utilizing that to your advantage. Now, you might be asking, but how? What does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like? Well, what I want to do in this episode is talk about how we can crush it for kids by unlocking our unique interests, skills, and strengths. I'm going to give an example of how I do that in my classroom, and I think it'll get you reflecting. I think it'll get you brainstorming and also exposing in a good way your unique interests, skills, and strengths so you can unlock those and crush it for kids in your very own classroom. This is going to be a powerful, positive episode that is going to help you during this really difficult time of the school year. And I'm so excited to deliver the information to you. So if you're here with me and you need something for your heart or something for your head, I got you. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Has anybody ever told you that you are unique and you didn't know how to receive that? I think sometimes when people say you're unique, it's intended to be a compliment. It's like, wow, you are so creative might be a synonym. And then I think other times people say you're so unique, and it's maybe intended to be like a nicer way to say quirky or weird. I think words hold a lot of value, and I think words often mean more than what they are on the surface. But if people come up to me and say, Monica, you're unique, I generally respond with, thank you, you are too. Because quite frankly, I think we all bring something unique to the table. And when I think about the term unique, what I do is I think about it in three different categories. I think about it in interests, skills, and strengths. And what I want to do is kind of break those down and then give you a direct example from my own classroom on how I combine those three areas to create crushing it for kids moments. So for example, when I think about interests, what is something that interests me a great deal? Games. I love board games. I know there are people on this planet who think they're called board games for a reason because they're so boring. I'm bored when I play them. I don't think that. I think board games are super, super fun. So I'm interested in board games and those kinds of things. So what's a skill of mine? Well, a skill of mine is taking things and being able to transform them into teachable opportunities. I think about it like we go to the $1.25 tree, and there is a section of that store that is dedicated to teacher supplies. And we can go there and we can find things that are intended to be teaching tools. Well, one of my skills is to go to any aisle of a store and find things that I'm like, I know this isn't intended to be used for teaching, but I'm going to figure out a way because I think it could be fun. My brain is just wired that way, and I can't really explain it, but I think that's what skills are, is you've got something and you can't really explain why you're able to do it and why you're good at it, but that's the whole great thing, right? And then I think strengths are actually different than that. I think of strengths more as like a heart and a head merge. Almost more like a character type of thing. So let me give you an example of one of my strengths. I am competitive. Now, kind of going back to words mean different things, I think sometimes we hear the word competitive and we're thinking, yeah, too competitive. And people perceive it as a really negative thing. But I actually think being competitive can be a strength. I can be a core value thing that you can leverage in life. So that's an internal reflection that I have done, and I urge you to do the same thing. Target what is one interest, one skill, and one strength that you have. So mine is board games. Mine is like creativity, transforming things into teaching tools, and then competitive nature. So then here's where we unlock some unique opportunities to crush it for kids. We take those three things and boom, we smash them together. So me as a teacher, what I'm thinking about is, okay, so how can I take something like a board game and tweak it to make it super school appropriate and super centered around curriculum and turn it into a competition so I can get my kids engaged in learning? That's my planning process. That is my thought process. Because when that happens, what my students are going to experience is something ultra unique. Something that unlocks this like, whoa, that's fun. Whoa, that's different. Oh my gosh, I've never played this before. I've never done this before. I've never experienced this before. Because that's exactly what we should be doing in education. Things don't have to be cookie cutter. Things can be awesome on a worksheet if we uniquely examine it from interests, skills, and strengths. I think sometimes worksheets get a bad reputation. They're like, oh God, worksheet to death. No, like, let's make that unique experience with a worksheet. Or like, oh God, technology is so bad. Everything's on technology. I think it can be great when we unlock it using interest, skills, and strengths. Okay, same thing. Sometimes classroom management is perceived as like, God, your classroom is total chaos. Well, maybe they're utilizing their unique interest, skills, and strengths. I'm not saying that all worksheets are good or all technology is good or even all classroom management is good. What I'm saying is it can be. And I think sometimes what we have to do is we have to disregard our judgmental glares. And I think we have to put our personal opinions to the wayside when we disagree with what people are doing. And we have to ask ourselves, okay, but are they unleashing their unique interest, skills, and strengths to crush it for kids? So let me give you a very concrete example of how I took board games, tweaking things to make it school appropriate, and competition. This past school year, I created a brand new game. I've been teaching for 15 years, and I created a brand new game, something that I had never done in this way with kids before. And it is a freaking smash. I want to tell you about it. Because if it works for me, it's going to work for your students too. And you know why? Because even if at first you're like, this is a bad idea, this is a dumb idea, this is going to create chaos, we're going to, oh, take a step back and we're going to say, but how can I leverage that for learning using my unique interests, skills, and strengths? Can we just put that on like a teacher mug? The next time that you are feeling judgy and hateful and like, I bet that teacher did that, we're going to take a step back and we're going to say, but how is that good? Because they are using their unique interests, skills, and strengths. Okay? So let me explain this game. I call it BOSS. BOSS is an acronym because I feel like if you're going to invent something as a teacher, by golly, it better be an acronym. So BOSS is an acronym. And it stands for two different things. Because I teach two different subject areas at the middle school level. I teach science and I also teach SEL. And you know a game is good when it can be used for two different subject areas by tweaking it just a little bit. So BOSS in my science class stands for brainstorming on scientific scenarios. That's good. Brainstorming on scientific scenarios. I also teach advisory / social emotional learning, right? It's a college career and life readiness class. So in that class, I call it brainstorming on student situations. Both are the exact same game, but I've tweaked it just a little bit using my unique interests, skills, and strengths to make it work so freaking well in both classroom settings. So let's talk a little bit about this board game. The word brainstorming is obviously included in both. Because one thing that often frustrates me as a teacher is that our kids are struggling to think. Like, unless it is just completely black and white and there is a right or wrong answer, there are specific directions, our kids just don't want to think outside the box. I hate making blanket statements like that, but I think you understand my heart here, is that kids want to just be like, well, just tell me what the answer is. And I'm like, well, there's lots of answers. They want to be able to Google it and find the answer. They want to be able to ask Siri or ask ChatGPT and just get a solution just spit out to them. So I can be frustrated by that, or I can say, I'm going to create something to combat this problem and turn it into something so positive. So how do we do that? By getting kids to think more often, to get kids in a situation where they are thinking and engaging and brainstorming and hashing out possible solutions. And that's what BOSS does. So in the science version, I've written scenarios that all are connected to science curriculum, physics, life science, chemical science, problems that could happen within a science classroom, regardless of whether your kids are 5 or 15. So I've written scenarios that are realistic in a science situation. Well, for the SEL version, I've done the exact same thing. I've thought about what are some sticky situations that our kids find themselves in on a daily basis, whether it's about money, whether it's about friendships, whether it's about grades, whether it's about sports. And I wrote scenarios that are realistic for their life. Because if they're gonna be brainstorming, they might as well be brainstorming on practical things that affect them as people. You know what I'm saying? So I wrote all these scenarios. And then the next part of the game of boss is they get things cards, okay? Another way to say this is they get items. Every student is given a specific number of items to brainstorm their way out of the problem. But the key to this game of boss is you have to use each item in an effective, appropriate way. So 5 items. Well, in the science version, I'm giving them things like, you know, a Bunsen burner or a beaker or a roll of tape or, you know, safety goggles or specific subject area things like 5 sedimentary rocks or a triple beam balance. Who freaking even uses a triple beam balance? Like, why is that still something that is even discussed in science? But nonetheless, a triple beam balance. Or maybe you're giving vinegar or baking soda, right? So things that could be used in a science lab, real life, practical science situation. And I made 90 different random things, 90 different random items that could be helpful in a scientific scenario. Well, I did the exact same thing with the SEL advisory version, which is really great for like morning meeting, advisory, homeroom, SEL time. But when I was making those, I thought like, what are like 90 practical real life things? So like a $5 bill, a cell phone, a freaking Stanley cup. And I don't mean like in hockey. I mean like the $97 cups that all the kids are carrying, right? A pair of Nike tennis shoes, just things that I knew would pique kids' interests because they're things that kids care about. A Netflix subscription, right? Just practical everyday life things. And so what happens is now we've got like a deck of cards. Those 90 things cards are like a deck, and you shuffle those suckers up and then you randomly deal out 5 of those that kids have to utilize to brainstorm their way out of the scenario that I have written. And what's really cool is in the game of boss, you can do this in pairs. You can do this in small group. The way that I introduced this to my students and we played for the very first time is we played as an all class so they could kind of learn the ins and outs of the game and the competition, okay? So it's really quirky and it's really fun and it's really competitive because all of these ideas are getting shouted out. The kids are like, wait, okay. So if we actually have a quarter, what if we did this with the quarter? And a kid was like, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And they're like, wait, what if we use the quarter in this way? I'm just using a quarter as an example, but it creates camaraderie in the classroom. It creates communication in the classroom. It creates brainstorming and problem solving. Because that's exactly what this is. It's a problem solving game. But I'm using it in a science classroom and I'm using it in an advisory or like a morning meeting setting too. And then what I have kids do, because it becomes very much a writing activity. So if you're like an English teacher or your kids need to work on writing, it becomes a writing activity because kids have to physically write out their solution, explaining how they used all 5 of the objects. Another remix of this is you could have kids draw it out. So like as a science teacher, I love charts, I love graphs, I love visuals. So sometimes I have my students draw out, show me like a map of how this would work. Show me like a flow chart with labels and pictures and areas and arrows of exactly how this would work. So there are just so many skill sets that we can tap into. And do you know what's super cool about this is I made this using my unique interests, skills, and strengths. Do you know how kids solve this? By using their unique interests, skills, and strengths. You know who thrives in these situations? Are kids who are very creative. Kids who can think outside of the box. And I think sometimes in school, we don't emphasize that enough. Because oftentimes when we think about our high achievers, they've got an A in your class because they've memorized a shit ton of information for a test, right? They're good memorizers. So they're known as the quote unquote, like, great students because they do school well. But I think we are going to have to get past the I do school well because I have A's. We got to ask ourselves, yes, but do our kids think well? Do our kids problem solve well? Do our kids apply information well? Do our kids communicate well with their peers? Because that, to me, is what a quote unquote A plus student actually is in the real world. But Boss combines all of these things. So this is a perfect example of how I am crushing it for kids because I'm utilizing my unique interests, skills, and strengths. Now, here's the hard part about this, because even as I just made that last statement, I just literally said, quote, this is why I'm crushing it for kids because I'm using my unique interests, skills, and strengths. Do you know what that felt a little bit to me? It felt a little icky. You know why it felt a little icky? Because it felt like I was bragging. It felt like I was boasting and had a lot of confidence. Like, man, I'm crushing it for kids. Look at what I invented. I think sometimes our confidence in things that we do well for kids is perceived as negative. Here's what I want to do. I want to say, hell yeah, I'm cheering you on. You got something that you do great for kids? Talk about it. Share it with people. I obviously do this a lot on this podcast. I share on social media. I share on TikTok. I share on Instagram. I share weekly emails. I share so many of my ideas. And do I get hate for it sometimes? Absolutely. But I want to remind you, if you're getting hate for something, it's likely because you're doing something well. And haters gonna hate. But I also think there are beautiful teachers out there like you who are also saying, Monica, I appreciate it. And I want to remind you, there are teachers in your classroom who are appreciating you. They're appreciating the experience that you create. They're appreciating you as a human being because you're an individual. So many of our kids at all ages and all grade levels are constantly comparing themselves to their peers. I want to look like them. I want to talk like them. I saw them on TikTok, so I want to do this like them on TikTok. Like, when kids see trusted adults like us owning their shit, owning who they are, and saying, like, I'm unapologetic about it because I love teaching, I love learning, I love people, therefore, I want to share that. Man, what a beautiful gift. So, hopefully me sharing this and kind of the pathway and the flow chart of interest, skills, and strengths, and then combining those and showing you kind of how my brain works, what my goal is and what my hope is that you can then take that same thought process and figure out, okay, so how can you unlock your unique interest, skills, and strengths to crush it for kids? P.S. I do want to say this. If you liked that Boss idea, please know that I am actually sharing that. Like, it's available. Like, you can go get the science version and the SEL version. It's available. Because when I made that, I'm like, oh, man, I bet other teachers would like this too. So you can go to monicajensa.com/boss. Like, you can go and snatch up either of those versions. I'll put a direct link in the show notes as well. But it's monicajensa.com/boss. B-O-S-S. Okay, and you can go get that game and you can try it with students and you can remix it in the way that's going to work best for you and your students. Maybe it's you're working in small groups. Maybe instead of giving 5 items, you decide to do 10 items. You can adapt that to your students' needs because you know your kids best. But what I want to show you, not just in this episode, but in future episodes, and maybe even during the month of April, as I talk about something super cool coming up, What I want to emphasize to you is you're doing a heck of a job. That sounds very Midwestern of me. Like, my God, did that not sound like rural Midwest? You're doing a heck of a job. But you are. You really are. You're bringing things to the table that I just can't. And I love you for it. I'm bringing things to the table that you don't. And that's okay. When we fully embrace the fact that every single one of us is crushing it with skills, crushing it with strengths, and crushing it with our unique interests, man, that is a way to end this year on a good note. Because I think it's proof that we're crushing it for kids. In fact, during the month of April, what I'm going to do is I'm leading a special course, completely virtual, completely fun, completely flexible, 21-day course called Crushing It for Kids. And if you liked this episode, I 100% guarantee that you will like the course because it's 21 days worth of ideas like this. 21 days of saying like, hey, let's tap into celebrating education. Hey, let's tap into building super strong relationships. Let's tap into new games and new engagement. And let's share our stories. Let's share our struggles. And then let's hold on tight because fourth quarter can be our best quarter yet. I genuinely believe that. If you want fourth quarter to be your best quarter yet, maybe not just of this school year, but maybe of your entire career, you can actually go to monicagenta.com/courses. I'm going to leave a direct link in the show notes for that as well. But teachers all across the globe, teachers who teach elementary, middle school, high school, different subject areas, different ability levels, we're all coming together. And we're going to say, you know what? For the next 21 days in the month of April, we are going to tap into some awesome ideas so we can end this school year on a good note. And I would love to invite you to be a part of that. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses to check that out. I've got all of those links in the show notes, so you can do a direct click as well. I hope that this episode has brought some joy to you. I hope it's got your brain just pumping through some thoughts and some reflections. I hope that this episode is actually going to be a catalyst for a conversation that you're going to have with yourself so that you can unlock and unleash some of those unique things that you are doing to crush it for kids. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but more importantly, I want to thank you for living this teacher life.